ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And as we've seen so far, in this letter, John opens up in chapter 1 by speaking of the light of God, that there is no darkness in him at all. And as we moved into chapter 2, John is still speaking of the light of God, but now John is admonishing us to abide in the light of God. Why? So that it's going to be manifested in our lives, so we will shine brightly. And last time in 1 John chapter 3, we began a section dealing with the love of God and how rich, how deep that love is. In fact, God loves us so much that he's adopted us into his family. Now, tonight, as we move into 1 John chapter 4, John is still going to speak of the love of God, but he's going to now admonish us to abide in that love. Why? So that God's love will not only flow into our lives, but through our lives and touch the lives of others. Remember what we read from our last study in 1 John 3:24. Now, he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. That is kind of a transition to what John's going to be talking about before he deals with the love of God. The point here in 1 John 3:24 is that we have the truth of God found in the Word of God. And not only do we have the truth of God, but as believers we have the Holy Spirit in us, guiding us, teaching us, directing us. He's the Spirit of truth. And If that's all there was truth, there'd be no problem, right? But as we know, especially in the days we're living in, there's a spirit of error out there trying to deceive us. One writer put it like this. He said, you know, it's easy to determine intellectually that the equation 2 plus 2 equals 5 is mathematically incorrect. 2 plus 2 does not equal 5. It's easy to verify intellectually that Abraham Lincoln actually lived and served as president of the United States. However, spiritual truth and error are not identified by reasoning alone. Satan desires spiritual truth's destruction, and failing that, he desires its corruption. In John 7:17, Jesus says, "If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority." We learn here that the gateway to spiritual truth is not so much the intellect, but the will. But there is spiritual truth. There is also spiritual, or because there is spiritual truth, there is also spiritual error and falsehood. Spiritual truth and error are not discerned by logical or intellectual reasoning alone. Intellectual reasoning is part of the truth discernment process, but truth is not discerned that way alone. Some of the brightest people on the face of the earth are dead wrong about some things they believe and teach. Spiritual truth is not discerned, known, or identified by reasoning alone. Spiritual discernment plays a crucial role as well. To know God, you must come to him in faith and love. Intellectuals who are intoxicated with their own wisdom and knowledge can't quite seem to figure out that their own investigated methodologies are flawed to the core when it comes to discerning spiritual truth. How true that is. I mean, huge problem today in the church. People lack discernment and they are buying into all kinds of false doctrine. Why? Because it feels right. I just feel that this is right. It sounds good. But have you ever been wrong by going by your feelings? I have. I feel this is the right direction to go in. I've told you before, you know, years ago we were traveling down to Chicago to visit my mom. We're on A43, and we pulled over to get some food, and we got back on the interstate. We had passed Milwaukee already, and we're seeing a sign, and Julie goes, "Hey, Joe, didn't we pass Milwaukee already? It says Milwaukee's coming up." I said, "No, you can't be right." She says, "Well, I think you're going the wrong direction. I said, no, I'm going in the right direction. She says, how do you know you're going in the right direction? This is a perfect answer. Because they are going north over there, which means we're going south. Right? Logical. That's pure logic. Except it was totally wrong. Because we were going north back to Milwaukee, and the other side were going south. See, I went by my feelings. I just felt this was right. And I missed it by, well, 180 degrees. That's pretty good. So you can't go by feelings. There's so many false doctrines and false teaching that's leading people away from God, not drawing them closer. Remember what Peter warned us about in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. He said, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemy. Wow. The sad thing to me is that Peter says many will follow their destructive ways, and that's what we're seeing today. Now, you're probably wondering, man, we talk a lot about false doctrine, false teaching. Why? Because that's what they're talking about. Here was the early church, right? And these letters that are being written are about false teachers and false doctrine that had come into the church. So if they had a problem back then, do you think we have a problem today? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why we deal with it. So the big question now is, how do we discern between the truth and the errors that are out there? And John's going to explain that to us next as we abide in the love of God. So let's pick up 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study through his word. John wrote this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Again, we see these warnings over and over again in the New Testament to beware, to pay attention, to be on guard. For what? For false teachers who are bringing in their false doctrine and trying to deceive us into believing what they're teaching. And the problem today is that many refuse to do what John is instructing them to do. We need to test these spiritual experiences, these spiritual so-called teachings, to see if they're found in the Word of God. We need to bring their teaching alongside the Word of God to see if what they're teaching is from God or not. It's very easy. That's why Paul commended the Berean church, because they didn't just listen to what Paul said. They went home and they went to check the scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. Wow. Yeah, that goes for every teacher. Because teachers are not infallible. We need to check the scriptures to see if these things are true. In fact, one writer wrote this. He said, the term translated test is a present imperative form of the verb dokimazo. The term was used to refer to a metallurgist's assaying of metals to test their purity and value. John's use of the present tense indicates that believers are to continually test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Wow, again, that's so important. I don't care if you've known me for a week or 26 years. You're still to test what I have to say to see if they are true or not. Bring them alongside the Word of God. That's important. Now, I know what a lot of false teachers say to promote their teaching. You know what? God is bigger than his word, and what we're saying is of God, because he's bigger. He can go outside his word, can't he? No, he can't. You know why? Because if God is doing something that's contrary to his word here, then his name is worthless. You can check it out in the Psalms. God holds his word above his name. His name is the totality of who he is. So if you can't trust his word, then you can't trust him at all. That's how serious this is. You got to test these things to see if they are God. Back in 1 John 2:18, John said, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come by which we know that it is the last hour. 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul wrote, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." And we're living in the latter times or the end times. And we're seeing this huge increase. Maybe it's because of social media where people can get their false teaching out there so quickly. But man, it is mushrooming out there. It's growing and growing. And the way you could get rid of this, it's really simple. You test them. You don't support them. You test them. And the false prophets, the false teachers are out there. The spirit of Antichrist is at work. And yet we have the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Listen to what John goes on to say, because it's important. Look at verse 2. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." Wow. Here's the thing. When someone is teaching the Word of God, they're going to present a true Jesus. And if they don't present a true Jesus, then they're not teaching from the Word of God. They're not expounding on the Word, or not cutting it straight. They're bringing in their own ideas. And in John's day, yeah, there was a lot who taught about Jesus, but it wasn't the truth of God. They made Jesus into their own liking from the imagination of their own heart instead of what the Scripture said. It was a false Jesus. 1 John 2:22, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son." They were denying the deity of Jesus. And here John is dealing with in chapter 4 that they were denying that God became flesh and dwelt among us. We see it again in 2 John 1:7. "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Keep in mind that this was Gnosticism. They didn't believe Jesus was actually flesh and blood. They thought he was a spirit and just kind of hovered off the ground. And John is confronting that false teaching that had come into the church. If you deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, you're a deceiver. You're an antichrist. You're against the things of God. And that same spirit of the antichrist that was around in John's day is still at work today. Do you really think that the devil cares if you love Jesus, if you pray to Jesus, if your Jesus is a false Jesus? He doesn't care. This is what he wants to do. I'll give you a couple examples to show you how a false Jesus is being presented today. And not by Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or the like, but by the church itself. In the book Messiah and the Second Coming, this is what we're told. "Jesus was one soul who reached the state of Christ consciousness. There may have been many others. He symbolized the blueprint we must follow. The way is open to everyone to become a Christ by achieving the Christ consciousness through walking the same path he walked. He simply and beautifully demonstrated the pattern." That's New Age teaching. It's not Christianity. Out of Science of Mind magazine, John White wrote, "The significance of incarnation and resurrection is not that Jesus was a human like us, but rather that we are gods like him, or at least have the potential to be. The significance of Jesus is not a vehicle of salvation, but a model of perfection." Well, we all have then the potential to be gods. I don't feel like a god, do you? Because I surely would not have the aches and pains that I have today if I was God. But that's what they're teaching. And this New Age Jesus is being taught in the church today. Willigus Jaeger clearly shares with us this idea in his book, Contemplation, A Christian Path. He said, "Salvation will now be nothing other than the realization of the fact that the kingdom of God is within you. This is the good news Jesus proclaimed to humanity. The kingdom is already within all of us." In other words, he's saying we're all gods. It's already there. We're already gods. Isn't that interesting? Jesus warned us in Matthew 24, many will say, I am the Christ. And the many is multitudes. We think of, you know, people like Jim Jones and others, these fringe elements. No, it's talking about multitudes of people believing that they are God. And now it's coming into the church. We've seen it even with the health, wealth, and prosperity teachers. You know, dogs have puppies, cats have kittens, and God has little gods. So we're little gods. That's in the Christian church. And it's a growing movement today. And again, we have the spirit tester to see if what they are saying is actually of God. If they deny his deity, if they deny his humanity, if they bring to you a Jesus that is not found in the Word of God, I'm sorry to say they have the spirit of Antichrist and not the spirit of God working in them. We should be, as Christians, able to discern right from wrong, truth from error. It shouldn't be really difficult. Way back in 1 John 2, verses 24 through 27, John said, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Again, you know, some people use this phrase, the anointing, as, you know, some special kind of anointing for certain individuals. No, it's not. It's for all of us. What is the anointing that he's talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the spirit tester. You have the spirit of truth that will teach you truth from error. I like that. The Holy Spirit, along with the Word of God, will open our eyes to what's out there. But we have a choice. But as you deviate from what the Holy Spirit is telling you, as you deviate from God's Word, you're traveling down a really slippery slope away from the true Jesus. Now, some people think I'm going overboard, but you read in Revelation, you read of the church of Laodicea. Where is Jesus in that church? He's outside the church, knocking on the door to get in. He's not even inside the church. Why? Because they've moved so far away from God that he's not even there anymore. They have their programs, they're very wealthy, prosperous. Things are happening. They're in need of nothing, not even Jesus. Hey, I need Jesus. And if you deny his deity, you're in trouble. Jesus says, you know, you're going to die in your sins if you don't believe I am. You will die in your sins. It speaks of his deity. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son, or begotten of the Father, excuse me, full of grace and truth. That's speaking of his incarnation. God became flesh and dwelt among us. He's the God-man. So the Word, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man in the incarnation, and if you deny that, you're a false teacher. You're bringing in false doctrine into the church. And I didn't say that. John did through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And again, we're not gods. I mean, think about that. It is scary. With the mentality people have today, can you imagine if they truly had the power of God? That's scary, because we see that the heart of man is really evil, really wicked. I'm glad my God is holy, righteous, just. He's fair. Because I don't have to worry. And I know I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, but I know he forgave me through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And to say that we forgot that we were gods? Yeah, I mean, Steve almost forgot that it was Thursday night and almost forgot to come to church. And I kind of thought, well, look at him. He's pretty old. And then I forgot it was communion night. And he reminded me. So, hey, praise God we help each other out, you know, baby steps. So I'm sorry, I'm not God. I didn't forget that I was God. There's only one. And it's not me, and it's not any of us. And the spirit of the Antichrist is at work. But boy, as we get closer to the rapture of the church, the start of the tribulation period, there's the Antichrist, the literal political figure, is going to come on the scene. I just want to share what how the Living Bible puts 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. Dearly loved friends, don't always believe everything you hear just because someone says it is a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. For there are many false teachers around, and the way to find out if their message is from the Holy Spirit is to ask, does it really agree that Jesus Christ, God's Son, actually became man with a human body? If so, then the message is from God. If not, the message is not from God, but from one who is against Christ, like the Antichrist you have heard about who is going to come, and his attitude of enmity against Christ is already abroad in the world. Oh, absolutely. Now, John's going to help to give us a correct perspective of the situation so we don't have to be fearful, even when we see darkness growing and growing. But look at verse 4 here. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You know what that reminds me of when I read that? It reminds me of David and Goliath. Goliath was the world, you might say. And David was this little ruddy kid, teenager. Saul's armor, he didn't even fit, couldn't even fit upon him. He had a sling and 5 stones to go after this giant who had these massive spears and swords, armor. But he who was in David was greater than he that was in the world. There is the big difference. You know, I understand it's easy to become fearful today as we look at all that's going on and we wonder, oh my gosh, we're in trouble. This is going to happen and that's going to happen. You forgot one thing. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I've said this before, but I guarantee you, God is not in heaven biting his fingernails going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I didn't see this happening. Who would have thought Biden would have won the elections? I thought I had this all planned out. Are you kidding me? He knows the beginning from the end. So he knows all things. So he knows this, and he knows what's happening, and he knows what he wants us to do. We just have to walk by faith. We don't have to be fearful. Yeah, it's good to be aware of the tactics that are going on there, of what's happening in the world. But don't be overcome by it. Because I tell you, the more you study all that's going on, the more angry you get and bitter you get and frustrated again, sometimes fearful you get. But when you read God's word and you go, oh yeah, this is what God said is going to happen. Hey, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your comfort, your grace, your mercy. And show me, Lord, what to do. We don't have to fear what's going on in the world. Remember 1 John 3:24, you know, we have the Spirit of God indwelling us, and because of that, we don't have to fear. Our victory is in Christ. You know, I think some of the problem is we get this mentality that Jesus and Satan are equals. They're not. Jesus is God, Satan is not. He was the anointed cherub. And you can read about his fall, this worship leader in heaven. In Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. But he's not God. He can't be everywhere at once. He doesn't know all things, but Jesus is Almighty God, and he does. In fact, during the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus is going to destroy the Antichrist and his forces with the words that proceed from his mouth, and Satan will be bound. Understand that? We call it the Battle of Armageddon. Is it a battle at all? Do you think Jesus breaks into a sweat at all? Absolutely not. The words he speaks, they're done, kingdom established, end of story. So if God is in us, and the world with all its power and money and influence and all that it can do is nothing compared to God. I don't know if it'll happen, but it doesn't stop me from praying for a revival in the days we're living in. We see revival in other parts of the world where really the gospel message has been silenced for years. But we see them in Muslim countries. Even in Iran, thousands and thousands of Iranians coming to Christ, many losing their lives because of it. So there is revival breaking out in the world. I pray for this country that we see revival break out once again, because it is not going to be done in the power of our might, but in the power of His might. We'll see next time in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world."
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.